Welcome to Sports Day. Great to have your company. All of the AFL teams are in. We've got some great guests coming your way tonight. You need to stay with us. You need to call in too on 133 882 if you want to have your say. Good evening, Hayes.
Good evening, Cal. How good's the Olympics? I watched it last night. It was great to see the Matildas play so well. And we've had the softball again today. We've got the Ollyroos playing later today. And, of course, tonight and tomorrow, the Olympic ceremony. Can't wait.
What about that header from Sam Kerr last night? How good?
She looked good, didn't she? She obviously played not that well in the World Cup, but she looked really sharp, got up the field and just so good with her touches and set up that first goal, and the second one was outstanding. She's classy. And look, they'd be a little bit disappointed to let New Zealand back into the contest, to be honest, because they dominated so much in the first half, but had to get the 3 points, of course, Sweden and also USA, the same draw.
And what about the Americans? That was the first game they'd lost in 44 matches. They hadn't lost a game of soccer for almost 2 years.
It's not good, is it? Given that we're going to have to come up against them next, so that'll be tough.
Yeah, and of course, as you just mentioned, Australia playing tonight. They'll take on Argentina just after we finish at 8:30 tonight. So, of course, we will keep you up to date with all of the Olympic action as it unfolds. We've got some great guests coming up tonight, and one of your old teammates, a bloke who came into your football club and he's played a lot more games than you.
One of the greats, mate, and he's done it the right way too. 350 games, still going strong. We talk about David Mundy, looking forward to that interview. Also, Dean Cox, speaking about a lot of games. He played 290 games, so he'll join us, of course, now at the Sydney Swans. Rob Scott will reminisce a little bit about his experiences at the Olympics. And Liz Ellis, what a show we have tonight, of course, to talk about netball and some other good promotions going on.
Yeah, and we'll do our chase for charity. We might just update the tally, just see whether I've earned more money than you tonight. We'll find out a little bit later on. So stay with us. We'll play Beat the Boys as well, where you get a chance to beat us and win a wonderful prize, thanks to the wonderful team at Automasters.
Speaking of netball, it's the West Coast Fever taking on the Vixens tonight. 17-15 at quarter time. No Sasha Glasgow this time out, but they've started pretty well.
Okay, let's get into some of the news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. Given the Saints are in town, we'll start right there because they have got a good signing. Jack Sinclair signed a contract today for another 3 years. Means he'll be at the St Kilda Football Club until he's 29. He's 26 currently, playing some really good footy, mainly across half-back this year. He's been swung around a bit. He's shown that he's been a very versatile player. Came into the St Kilda Football Club as a rookie, pick one back in 2014, and you've got all the teams.
I do. We'll start with the West Coast Eagles taking on St Kilda. Josh Kennedy and Jake Waterman, Xavier O'Neill, Mark Hutchings are the players that have come back in. We haven't seen Hutch this year, so clearly they still want to give him an opportunity, and maybe there's a tagging role there for him this weekend. They've got some good midfielders. Jack Steele's been in really good form. Luke Edwards, as you said last night, out with a hamstring. Jack Petricelli too, also injured again. He's had a bad run with injuries. Just when he looks like he's playing well, he gets a bad run with those injuries. Luke Shuey, of course. Bailey Williams and Jackson Nelson will be the Medi sub for St Kilda. Oscar Claverino, Nick Caulfield and Paul Hunter all come in. Bytel, Highmore, McKenzie and Marshall. Rowan Marshall, the big out there for the Saints. The Fremantle Dockers, they take on Sydney. And they've made a lot of changes into the squad. Connor Blakely, Mitch Croden, Lloyd Meek has been named in the squad. Now, Sean Darcy is still in. I'm expecting him to play, but there's a bit of cover there. Matt Tabanar is back. Now, Justin Lomuel said today that he may play for Peel. Come on, Longy, don't be silly. He won't play for Peel, given that Rory Lobby's out. And Hayden Young, good player. He's been out for a while now. Good to see him back. He's been in some good form the last couple of weeks. Out is Blake Akers, Rory Lobb, as I mentioned, and Sam Switzkowski. And I forgot to mention Nathan O'Driscoll, who could make his debut for the Dockers from the Perth Football Club. Of course, his sister plays for the Fremantle Dockers as well. So that would be the first time I reckon that may have happened. And for Sydney, Logan McDonald, Hayden McLean, Sam Reed and Lewis Taylor into the squad. Joel Amati is the player making way.
We'll update a few of the other teams a little bit later on. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. You visit your local Polaris dealer today. Cricket Australia and Bangladesh Cricket Board confirmed a 5-match T20 series next month today. It'll all be played in Dhaka. It'll be played in quickfire too. August 3rd to August 9 is when that particular tournament will be played. And of course, that is leading into the T20 World Cup, which is a few months later down the track. Now, tonight, we've got a signed football to give away. And I encourage all of the Freo Dockers fans to call through on 133 882. Thanks to Sullivan Logistics, your trusted door-to-door express freight service that'll be signed by the Freo Dockers. And anyone else we can find around the office. The last few, they've actually asked me to sign as well. It's been good because I've been writing West Coast Eagles 1988, 1995, 92 flag on the side.
They're losing value every week you've been doing
that. Well, it's just a few of those Docker signatures on there. Just couldn't put the 92 flag or for that matter, any other flag. Sorry to just throw that in, Paul. But let's clear a commitment because on the other side, we are going to get to our first guest. It'll be a pleasure to have him on the program. Stay tuned. David Money to join us after this. Let's get into Freo Focus for Sullivan Logistics, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. And it's great to have this man on the radio. 350 games. I can't believe he told Paul Hazelby about this and he kept it quiet until the podcast was put out with Griffey Logue. Couldn't believe that, Paul Hazelby. But Dave Money is the man we're talking about, everyone. And he joins us here on Sports Day. Dave, welcome, mate. Congratulations. Well done on a wonderful career and a great season so far.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. It's been a pretty hectic couple of days, but Old Bull Young Bucks podcast every week, me and Griffin Logue. Nice little plug there. But, yeah, thanks, mate. It's nice to kind of be wanted, I guess, and be playing good, well enough that, yeah, Peter Bell and the Fremantle hierarchy trust me in their team and to help lead our young cohort.
How are you loving the limelight? Because you haven't always been a player that's loved it, but you've got the podcast, very popular podcast too. If they're not listening to us, they're listening to you. But, you know, the limelight that comes with playing so many games, how are you coping with that? I'm sure deep down you're loving it.
Well, these kind of occasions pop up and, you know, it's a bit of a flashpoint for those kind of things. But, yeah, I guess the love and respect and the celebration of my career that I've received, particularly this week from the Fremantle faithful, is overwhelming, to be honest. It's you know, a really positive response, and yeah, I know my family and I yeah, really value that and really respect that, and it's certainly a nice little pat on the back to get occasionally, but yeah, we've got a job to do this Sunday.
Matthew Pavlich had the same thing for two interstaters to come over here and make Western Australia your home with plenty of options to go back for both of you. But does the feeling of adulation that comes from not only Freo fans, it's from the whole state, outweigh any homesickness that you may have had throughout your career?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the value in able to, you know, being able to stick it out in somewhat more difficult circumstance than, you know, perhaps local guys, forge my own kind of career and my own pathway and begin my own family in a wonderful part of the world like Perth is. It's yeah, it's really valuable, and so I'm you know, incredibly proud to be a one club player and to have been able to represent Fremantle for so long. Yeah, I take great pride in that.
Did you have that attitude though when you got your name called out, being a boy from Victoria who played in the TAC Cup for the Murray Bush Rangers, probably grew up barracking for someone else, pick 19 in 2003 National Draft? Do you remember the moment when your name got called out, and how did you react?
Not specifically the moment. It was a very different process of the draft back then, but I was actually informed through a text message from Kane Turner, who was a fellow Murray Bush Ranger, went to Geelong at pink 7 and 6 or 7. And yeah, I found out that way, and I wandered out of my bedroom, and my dad was sitting on the kitchen bench trying to tune the radio into the draft and figure out what would happen. And I told him, and he had my same reaction. We were just both over the moon and didn't have any kind of preconceptions about wanting to stay in Victoria or not go to particular states or anything like that. We just wanted to get on an AFL list and have a crack. And I remember my mum's a night shift nurse, and I went in and woke her up. She'd worked the night before, and I told her, and she immediately bawled her eyes, started bawling her eyes out, burst into tears, which happens to still at the airport to this day. So, yeah, very memorable day for my entire family.
It wasn't easy early on. You didn't walk straight into the team. And I heard a story that you told about Peter German and the spray that he gave you early on in your career. Of course, he was the coach of Subiaco at the time. Can you share with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So the process back then was there was no affiliated waffle club. So all the interstate guys would come in and go into essentially a waffle draft and would be billeted out to play our reserves football at different teams. And I ended up at Subiaco, which it was quite fortuitous in the end. We won the 2004 grand final, which is great. But, yeah, Peter German was our head coach back then and is renowned for a good spray. And certainly a lot of guys copped quite a few of them. And I don't think I got the worst of it by any means. But one particular day, we're playing a country game up north somewhere. We're playing against Perth. And Michael Johnson, who was drafted with me to Fremantle was a Perth boy, so I was actually playing on him, and he gave me an absolute bath one day, and he was marking everything, kicking goals, you know, from everywhere, and he had an absolute blinder, and on the flip side of that, I had an absolute stinker. Arguably the worst game of football I think I've ever played. And after the game, so we lost the game. After the game, we go into the rooms, and as was Peter's penchant back then, he ended up singling out, going through the entire team, just giving everyone a bake. And so I was about halfway along the line and dreading my turn as he's getting closer and closer. And the essence of my bake was, I don't know why Fremantle drafted you. You're no good. You'll never make it. So, yeah, that's very memorable.
And you just come back from, was it your grandfather's funeral? You'd just flown back in and, of course, straight to the country region?
Yeah, so I'd flown back for my grandfather's funeral that week. And Peter had overlooked it in his, emotional state or something. But, and a couple of years later, he came to Fremantle as an assistant midfield coach. We had a good laugh about it and we've moved on. So, he's a good coach and he did some great things for Subiaco in particular.
Now, you have been a wonderfully resilient player. The least amount of games you've played in your career was in 2011, where you played 12 games. You hardly missed a game for about 5 years in a row prior to that, and then you played every game in the following four seasons. You haven't missed too many in the last 4 or 5 years either. What's the secret?
Well, I jokingly say the secret is not to run too fast because I haven't done too many soft tissue injuries. I've been very fortunate. I've avoided big contact, collision injuries. So I haven't done knees or broken bones or anything. And I guess a fair bit of luck goes with that. But, I've been able to get a lot of training into my body through summers and been able to stack the work, from the time I walked through the door. So I feel like I've been able to build up a fairly high level of resilience and resistance within that, and have a really keen understanding of where my body's at on any particular day now, so that I can somewhat tailor my training a little bit depending on how I've pulled up from games or how I'm feeling on a particular day. So there's a few factors that go into it. As I said, luck being amongst us.
We have had a little bit of a running sort of rolling joke sort of commentary when it comes to your blokes and kicking for goal. And I've always put my house on Monday every time Monday gets the ball. You look so relaxed when you're shooting for goal. And I often say in commentary that a few of your teammates should just go down and stand next to David Mundy and watch how he does it. Is there much banter that goes on between the boys, given at times how bad your goal kicking has been? Because particularly here, mate, it's been unbelievably probably off target for most games this year.
Yeah, as you said, particularly this year, it feels like, there's been a couple of games where we've kicked more goals than points, only a couple. And, we end up coming out of those games and you look at the scoreboard and it's a bit of a celebration, So certainly an area of focus for us and something we really need to, dial in on. And we've trialled a few different modes of, how do we best practice that under game day fatigue and, the stress of having a set shot. So hopefully the wheel will turn, but, we're certainly aware that it's an area of focus for us.
Disappointing game, let's be honest, last week for you and the team against Geelong, but you get a chance to atone for that. A big win against Sydney on the road would be a great tonic.
Yeah, absolutely. And, horrible game last Thursday. No one's happy, obviously, with our effort and our output in that game. And but the great thing about AFL football is the next week you get another crack at it. And, we've had a fairly good break now. There's been a bit of a few unknowns earlier in the week about, where we're going to be playing and all that kind of stuff. But, the group's now locked in and really focused on getting over the Gold Coast and playing Sydney, who are another really formidable team at the moment. They're in some really nice form and play a really solid brand of football. So, that's another challenge. But we know that if we can, connect as a group and get our game clicking, we're as good as anyone.
Now, when you first started, you wouldn't have known what a hashtag was, and probably the internet wasn't even invented when you first started. You're that old, but hashtag Mundy 300. That went viral. It was one of the biggest hashtags of the year. What's Mundy 400 going to look like, and can you get to 400? Because that would break the internet.
Yeah, well, it's already started, hasn't it? It's the optimism of some of our fans is really pleasing and really nice to be on the receiving end of that. It's obviously a fairly long way away, and yeah, if we get there, it means a lot of things have gone right, and that would be absolutely lovely. Another one came out yesterday, Monday, not Dundee, contract extension, which I didn't mind. Yeah, so there's been a few good ones along the journey.
Well, back in Paul Hasby's day, it was Monday, no undies. Oh, God. Mate, we'd love to keep chatting, but obviously it's commercial radio and we've got to take a break. But thank you very much for having a yak to us tonight. Well done again on what you've been able to achieve, mate. And let's hope there's many more. And good luck for the weekend. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. Thanks, Hayes.
Good on you. Dave Mundy, who is playing game 350, which means that he is only a couple of games then behind Matthew Pavlich as the all-time greatest games player at the Fremantle Football Club. Incredible. For Sullivan Logistics and Cal Express, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service, visit calexpress.com.au. You can call our open line if you'd like to have a chat about Dave Mundy. I think we should, on 133 882. Tell us what you have loved about him over the years here on Sports Day next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, drive car of the year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Righto, Freo fans, where are you? Want to talk about David Mundy? I think we need tonight, 133 882, and that signed footy by a couple of the Freo Dockers, thanks to Sullivan Logistics, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. We are only going to do it for the next 8 or 9 minutes, so whoever calls through in this segment, one of you is going to win that prize in our show tonight. And Daryl in Kingsley is going to kick
us
off.
He's got it. Well done, Daryl. He got
not,
the ball.
Not yet, he hasn't.
Don't let Carl sign it.
Daryl, how are you?
Good evening. First off, I want to give myself a pat on the back because I got the economy. He's moved right because he went to the victory.
Yes.
In relation to David Mundy, he is going to definitely overtake Pav, I think, as one of our favourite Freo players. In terms of selection this evening, I'm really glad Lloyd Meek's getting a go. I think he could work well with Darcy, and Darcy could spend more time in the forward line and help our forward line as well. And all Meek needs to do is just give a contest against Hickey.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty good when he's got an opportunity. Now, Lob goes out, and there's a bit of talk about Lob and his future at the football club, so they probably need to find out a bit more whether he can play the two ruckman in the side, Longmuir, or can he play as a forward more himself, or can Sean Darcy spend more time? But given what we're seeing from Sean Darcy in the ruck at the moment, he's going so well. So it's going to be a balancing act. Of course, Tabata will come back in. He's not going to be at full strength, you wouldn't have thought, and then Josh Tracy. So you've got to be careful that you're not too tall and cumbersome down there, but I think they need to find out a bit about Lloyd Meek.
So you've got a situation where Amati goes out. He was pinch hitting in the ruck and working in tandem a little bit with Tom Hickey over the last couple of weeks. Hayden McLean comes in, so you're assuming that he will go into that role, replacing what Amati's been able to do there. They've also brought Logan McDonald back into the squad, so it'll be interesting to see whether he plays. But, yeah, I didn't mind when Darcy and Meek were working in tandem earlier on in the season. It seems like a long time ago, but I thought that at that particular point that Meek showed enough that he could play. It's as to whether they do want to go, though, with the extra tall. And I'm not aware of what the conditions are going to be like, Hayes, because, you know, it's certainly not going to be as bleak as what is maybe forecast here for the weekend. So, you know, bringing in an extra big guy is probably something that they would consider.
He's got pretty good forward craft, Sean Darcy, hasn't he? He's shown that this year. He can sneak forward a little bit. But as I said before, if you put him forward, then you lose out in the ruck because he has been so good.
But if Tabana's fit, you have to surely bring him straight back in.
Oh, well, Longmuir said today that he could play for Peel or Fremantle. Come on, Longy. If he's fit, he has to play for Fremantle. Given that Rory Lobb goes out and they need forwards and their season's on the line, there's still a chance to play finals footy, and a big win against Sydney will do their confidence a lot of good.
We are giving away the signed footy in this segment, so you need to call through 133 882. Joe in Inglewood joins us. G'day, Joe.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Well.
Look, just to first off, just a great effort by David. You know, he's a champion footballer. I'm a strong Hawthorn supporter, so, you know, 2013 grand final must hurt him a bit. But anyway, what I wanted to have a chat about was, I mean, Clarkson's come out and initially with this succession plan, and he said, yeah, I'm happy with it. I'm going to coach. I'm going to do this. And then a lot of people report and saying it was deathly silence from Mitchell, you know, silence. Then Mitchell came out yesterday or the day before and spoke to Jared and he said, I'm really happy with it. It's going to work. And then the other night on Footy Classified, they're all saying it's deathly silence from Clarkson. I mean, what else do they want from these guys? I mean, they're running two football clubs. They're having their meetings. I don't know what they want from them.
It's all come from Caroline Wilson, really, and it's a shame that that's how our industry works. And she comes out and says, I've heard this, I've heard that from within the football club, and then all of a sudden it comes a big story, and then they've got to defend it, and then they got upset because they didn't defend it together. But it was an interview on radio, and you don't have two people go into an interview on radio, and I thought Sam Mitchell did a really good job. But having said all that, it's always going to lead to this discussion if you do have handovers. We've seen them in the past. They haven't worked. Somebody gets aggrieved along the way. But with these two guys, they have a long relationship. I think that's a positive, but Buckley and Malthouse did have a long relationship too. But look, if I was Sam Mitch, I'd be happy to sit back for another year. Hawthorn aren't going to compete next year. Get another year with Clarkson, some more maturity to some of the younger players, take over fresh the year after, and everybody wins.
Good on you, Joe. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Aaron in Harrisdale. G'day, Aaron.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Good, mate.
Good. Just calling in about Monday's 350th. So the guy's incredible. Pav was one of my favourites, obviously, but I think Monday's right there, probably tied with him right now for me. And 25 disposals a game this year. The guy's just going incredible at 36 years old. So I think that's awesome. And the selection, I like seeing O'Driscoll there, so hopefully he gets a game. And a few of the other guys look pretty good as well. But Darcy was the best inclusion for me because I thought he was going to miss the weekend.
Yeah, Hayden Young too, I think, coming back in. But look, Matthew, there's a different class, I think, between Matthew Pavlich and David Mundy. I think sometimes we get caught up in the emotion of the week. Fantastic player. Can't take that away from David Mundy. But you're talking about Matthew Pavlich, what did he kick? 700 goals, six-time All-Australian, six-time best and fairest winner, maybe eight-time best and fairest winner, where I think Mundy is a one-time best and fairest winner and a one-time All-Australian. So they're not in the same class, but terrific effort. He's number two because of the longevity, but Nathan Fyfe, if you were in the schoolyard, you'd pick Nathan Fyfe over David Mundy.
Yeah, and I'd pick Pav ahead of both. Yeah. So, to play the positions that he played and win an All-Australian as a backman, a midfielder and as a forward wins every day of the week for me. That's just my opinion. You might have yours. Join in. Seb in Jandakot. G'day.
Hey, guys, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
What about Monday on Sunday? That'd be a great film.
Monday on Sunday.
We had a few of those in the interview, didn't we, eh, Seb?
Yeah. All jokes aside, I was a bit annoyed a few years back when they swapped him out from captain and gave it to Fifey. But I reckon the guy is an absolute legend. He could put his hand on his heart and say he bleeds purple. But the guy is, like I say, absolute legend. And, I'd love to see him get to 400 if that was possible. I think he'd go down in the echelons of the club forever.
In hindsight, it was probably the wrong decision looking back at the change of captaincy. I think Nathan Fyfe still had some maturing to do, and David Mundy was just unlucky through circumstance. It was 2016, the year that he captained, and of course that was when they fell off the cliff. They lost all those senior players that went out, and there was a group of youngsters that were coming through with Fyfe, and look, he got the captaincy. But I think another year, I reckon, with Fyfe just waiting in the wings would have been good for both.
Hey, Seb, do you want the footy?
Mate, I'd love to get that footy.
All right, it's yours, mate. Stay on the line. So Seb is our winner tonight for Sullivan Logistics, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. Thanks for calling through to everyone in that little segment. We've got to clear a commitment, and on the other side, we will come back and have a chat to Dean Cox, who'll join us here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company, and nice to have Dean Cox joining us here on the program, assistant coach at the Sydney Swans. Coxie, welcome, mate. How are you travelling?
Gentlemen, good evening. Going okay, sort of getting used to life away from Sydney and trying to adapt the best way we can.
You've been probably pushed from pillar to post, but it hasn't affected the way that you're playing on the football field. In fact, in a lot of ways, Coxie, looking in from where I sit, it seems to have galvanised you because as a football team, playing some great footy at the moment.
It is. It's sort of been a little bit different, but I think from the hubs last year, we learned a hell of a lot when we were away for sort of 9 weeks to what you should do, how you try and get the group together, give them time off to get them playing their best footy on the weekend. And we sort of reviewed last year when we come into the hub about what we learnt. And the players have really adapted well, and you know, they're putting everything into training. They're enjoying their time as much as they possibly can, being away from, you know, family and their home. And they're producing on weekends so far. So, you know, it's been really, really, really impressive. And the way they've handled themselves is, you know, a testament to their characters.
Hey, Coxie, can you give us some insight into the nature around the start of the game last week against the Giants? Because they lost players, you lost some good players, Callum Mills and Cunningham amongst that have been really good performers for you. But then also the coaching masterclass from your man John Longmire, who was emotional after the game, but it looks like he put a lot of thought into that and tried to G the boys up a bit before the game.
Yeah, well, we got to the ground not knowing any different, sort of got there about an hour 45 before the game, preparing. Charlie Gardner, our footy manager, come in and said probably an hour 15 before the game that it looks like they've got a call from the AFL saying that the government say might be saying that there's no tier levels with the rugby game that they went to, and they could miss straight away and have to do 14 days quarantine. So, yeah, it sort of threw the cat amongst the pigeons, and we sort of just rallied as a coaching group. First of all, we had to ring players. We only brought the one emergency. So we had to get the medical staff in, work out who was fit, the guys played the day before, who could handle it, what's best for their preparation. Did all that without even still knowing with the on-ground warm-up. We hadn't been told. So at that stage, we had to try and work out what was best and said to the other guys, you better just isolate for a little bit just in case you do get removed from the squad. So, yeah, no, it was an interesting one. Got the players in, sort of said, who was playing, what had happened. They sort of sensed with all us coaches running around that something was going on. So we addressed it as well as we could and, started a bit slow, but then the boys really rallied and performed well in the last probably 2.5 quarters.
That was the best thing about the win because you're blown off the park, to be honest, in the first half. It was a bit embarrassing, but you found a way to get back into the game. What changed? Was it just a mindset thing or was there anything tactically at halftime that was spoken about?
No, I think we started to sort of gain a little bit of momentum towards the back end of the second quarter. Our ability to probably win enough ball around the contest. They sort of smacked us there early in the first quarter. And, you know, we started to level that up and get a little bit in front in that area, which provided us some opportunities going forward. And, you know, then our forwards, certainly in that third quarter, I suppose we got some rebound off our half-back line. And, you know, from there gave our forwards some really good looks and they converted some pretty good shots. So the pressure from the scoreboard mounted and, you know, our boys got a lot of confidence from that.
I'd like to talk about a couple of your young blokes in a moment, but I tell you what, one bloke who you let loose was Georgie Hewitt and he didn't let you down. Normally he's trying to curb the influence of another player, but it was him they had to try and curb. Hey?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a different year for Georgie. Sort of spent a fair bit of the first half of the year playing back and, you know, the last couple of weeks has been up in the midfield and, yeah, as you said, he limited Hopper a little bit throughout that period, but then found a lot of the ball himself. And one thing with George, he spends a lot of time on his craft and, you know, he's really tough and clean and hard to win a ball off inside the contest. And he lifted, played unbelievable for us.
McInerney, Gildon, I know that there's a couple of other youngsters that I could throw into the melting pot young Chad Warner, who's not actually in the side at the moment. But Stevens came into the team on the weekend after not being included initially, but those first two have certainly shown that they're going to be around for a little while. McInerney's just improved further and further and now he's getting on the scoreboard as well.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I think that the good thing about Justin is he didn't do a hell of a lot of, hardly any of pre-season. He had some back complaints all the way through that period. And he played a couple of practice games before he started our season round two. And, you know, since then he hasn't looked back and he's been unbelievable for us to provide some run and some carry and overlap for, you know, through the midfield and half back has been, you know, a real change for our footy team. And he's provided that. And then Errol, he's just a really intelligent young man. You know, you talk about the footy smarts and the understanding of game and game state, momentum. For a first year player, he's at the highest level at that. So, there's no reason why he can't keep playing the way he is and hit a little bit of an injury setback and freshened him up probably as a first-year player and he's ready to go.
Just going back to McInerney, he's been underestimated at all in the discussions around Rising Star this year because he'd be making a late charge.
Oh, he's been great for us all year. You know, I think probably a lot of people didn't realise that he, I don't know, whether he could have been a Rising Star. But, you know, for us, he's been unbelievable. Ever since he came in from round two, we didn't play him against Fremantle last time, which, you know, probably hurt us again in the end. So he's played some consistent footy and hasn't let us down at all. So, yeah, his name should be up there for sure.
Now, another bloke hasn't let you down either since you've gone and pinched him from West Coast after they didn't give him enough match time. And I reckon he's better as a front man is the big fella Tom Hickey. He has been playing a role for you, given that you've been a little bit short in that area for a little part of this season.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, I think when he first came over, one thing about Hickey is he knows what he can and can't do. Doesn't shy away from some of the areas that he knows he's, might be his weaknesses and tries to address them and just plays within himself. And, you know, he's been really good and he's been a great dynamic around our footy club as well. You know, the players love playing with him. But he's got a massive challenge this week against, you know, Darcy, who's probably the informed ruckman in the comp at the minute.
Last time we spoke to you, Coxie, we talked about your coaching ambitions, but how are you enjoying working with Horse and also Don Pike up there this year? I'm sure you'd be pretty happy that you get to work so close with those guys.
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, when you've got a current senior coach and an ex-senior coach to work alongside, they're different in the way they do things, and, you know, and that's probably the good part about the learning process that you can get is to pick ideas from both of them. They're very, you know, intelligent football brains, and the good thing about them is the dynamic that they bring to our coaching group. And part of it is you know, the experiences that they've had, and they're not afraid to sort of pass them on and learn from them as well. So it's been really educational for me this year, and will continue to be so as well.
Worked under Adam Simpson at West Coast, of course, as well. Probably done your apprenticeship, Coxie, haven't you? Might as well throw your hat in the ring for the Collingwood job, why don't you? Everyone's talking about Pike and all of these other recycled blokes. Why don't you have a crack?
Okay. Happy doing what I'm doing at the minute, Carl.
All right.
Good answer, Coxie. Good answer. Straight bat. We like that. And also last time we spoke to you, it was when Shannon Hearn went past your record. You played 290 games and you probably thought that was a lot of games. But Dave Mundy, you're coming up against him this weekend.
Yes, I know.
350 games. And obviously you did as much travel as he's done through your time at the West Coast Eagles. You must sit back and marvel at how he's kept going.
Oh, for sure. You know, I tip my hat to him to be able to do what he's done, and certainly now to still be playing the footy that he is. You know, he's a real driving force throughout that midfield group. And, you know, speaking to Longie, for the times that I passed him, the influence he has on that playing group's phenomenal. And, you know, he's done it for a really long period of time. The standard hasn't dropped. And hopefully he can have a little bit of a quieter one this weekend. But, he doesn't look like he's slowing down either. So there might be plenty more left in him.
Which Freo are you preparing for, Geelong Freo or Hawthorn Freo? The big difference.
Yeah, I think you certainly have to prepare for the Hawthorn, the Collingwood one that they beat in probably the last three quarters against Carlton. You know, they played some really good footy, gave them a start early. And, you know, obviously last week we've been in the same boat. We've had a down night or a couple of poor games. And, you know, Freo responded really well after those. So we've got to expect for that and them to get their hunt around the contest. That's the way they play their best footy, and we don't expect anything less from them.
Hey, Coxie, when you work alongside a coach like Adam Simpson or a Justin Longmuir like you did, and then you go up against them as a coach, do you feel like you know a bit more about what they're going to try and do because of what they valued, I guess, as assistant coaches or senior coaches at that time?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Now, I think, well, I haven't been with Adam for 4 years, so I think the first probably couple you understand what they might go to. And Justin's been sort of obviously at Collingwood for a couple of years and then now at Freo. So the game sort of continually evolves and they've probably got their one or two things that they resort to. But, you know, whether it's in the ball movement side or the transition or the way they want to defend or what they do around the contest, that sort of ebbs and flows week to week. So their philosophies as an assistant probably change once you become a senior coach.
Being a former great of the West Coast Eagles, when you pulverised them down at Alphabet Stadium the other week, did you feel sorry for them?
I was there to do my role for the team I work for at the minute, Carl. So,
so that's
I've been
no.
on the end of some of them as well. So,
oh, don't worry. We've all had some of those. Well, I remember that.
Exactly right. A little bit more than you probably across my career. Hey, how's the families going, mate? I know there's been a lot of talk about your players trying to reunite with their families. How's that coming along?
Yep. Yeah, it's sort of been a work in progress. We've been away for a month now, and all the wives and partners and kids got on the plane today, so they've still got to do 14 days in a Brisbane hotel. So they'll do that tough for a couple of weeks and then reunite with the whole team come Friday, two-week time. So, yeah, no, it's exciting for everyone. Obviously, it's not great circumstances in Sydney with everyone being in lockdown, so hopefully they can get up here and give the players a bit of a spark come towards the back end of the year and try to make it as normal as possible throughout this tough period.
Thanks for all that you and your team have done and enabling the game to continue. I know that you might not get a lot of accolades, but we know that there's a lot of footy fans, particularly out west, that have appreciated the commitment that's been made from everyone involved in the industry, including the umpires. We thank you, Coxie. Thank you very much for sharing some time with Hayes and I tonight.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dean Cox, who is a legend of the West Coast Eagles Footy Club and doing some great work in the coach's box at the Sydney Swans. And I wouldn't be surprised if he threw his hat in the ring in the not-too-distant future for a coaching job. He speaks like a coach, Hayes, if
he's
you haven't noticed.
He's getting closer, isn't he?
He yeah. I think he's been close for a couple of years, to be honest.
I think he's the next generation coming through. Maybe another year or two, the right job come up, I think you'd do a good job.
Well, and he's worked with the right individuals. Mm. If you look at the success and the impact that they're having at their respective clubs at the moment. And there's no doubt that, you know, you can just hear the way that he speaks, that he knows and he just loves the game. And I'd like to see him get a crack at it.
You do need to move away, don't you, and get to another club to experience a different system, a different culture. We saw that with Justin Longmuir, who went to Collingwood. We've seen it with Sam Mitchell, who's come over here to the West Coast Eagles. And he made the hard decision too, to go to another environment. I think that helps you.
Absolutely. We will come back with more of Sports Day. Our number is 133-882. We'll take your calls after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Couple of minutes away from the 7 o'clock news. And Hayes, some good news for the Bottle-O. Gotta love your local. Gotta love the Bottle-O in our sports update.
Oh, yeah. The Uluru's, they have scored through Lockie Wales. 1-0 against Argentina. Some good work down the left by Joel King. A good cross. And there he was, Lockie Wales to tap the ball in. And in the netball, Carl, the West Coast Fever 52-39, three-quarter time against the Vixens.
All right, we'll keep you up to date. A great range friendly service, the independently owned by the locals. Gotta love your local, gotta love the Bottle-O. Now, since 1882, it's been Test cricket's fiercest rivalry, and I cannot wait for this. The Vodafone Men's Ashes Series, one of the most treasured contests of the cricketing calendar, is coming right here to Perth. All of the action of the fifth test will take place when Australia takes on England here at Perth Stadium, January 14 to 18, where you can soak up the atmosphere over five incredible days. You can grab your tickets and watch history unfold this summer. Tickets on sale now via Ticketmaster. Have a look at that little shot on goal, Hayes. Almost a second to the Australian. The scissor kick over the shoulder and a magnificent save by the Argentinian keeper. So right now the Aussies taking it up to one of the best young teams in the world, Argentina. Our Ollie Roos, of course, playing tonight. New Zealand beat South Korea a little bit earlier, and Cote d'Ivoire defeated Saudi Arabia 2-1 earlier tonight as well. We need to clear a commitment, and then it'll be time for Beat the Boys. Be caller number 15 after the news, which is next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive car of the year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Switch and save on car service and repairs with ServiceNow Pay Later options. Call 1300 Automasters.
And a $100 voucher is up for grabs in Beat the Boys. Just before we get into that, Australia still leading Argentina 1-0 in the football that is being played over there at the Olympic Games. So let's hope that our boys can keep it going. Now, Jackson is the lucky caller, number 15, who got through. He's out there in Belga. Good evening, Jackson. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, going great, mate. How old are you?
I'm 14.
14. You're playing some footy?
Yes.
Who do you barrack for?
I go Swans.
Sydney Swans?
Yep.
All right. You reckon they can win this week?
Of course.
All right, Jackson, let's take him down. You know how to play the game?
Yeah, I do.
All right, Port Adelaide taking on Collingwood at Marvel. Some big ins for Port Adelaide. Dersma, Butters and Rosie all taken in the same draft, would you believe? And some debutants for Collingwood, Ginnivan and Anton Tohill. Finlay McRae, the other player that comes in. Some big injuries there. Thomas, Hoskin, Elliott, Main and Brown, the players that go out. Travis Boak's 300 for me. That'll be enough, Carl. Yeah. They'll win for him.
Yeah, me too. I think that with those three talented young players coming back in too, gives them plenty of scoring power. So, yep, I'm with Port Adelaide. Jackson.
I'm with Port as well.
Righto, Carlton taking on North Melbourne. This game at Marvel as well. Patrick Cripps returns. Owies and Fogarty, the players that go out. Anderson and Cunnington for Northampton. Sorry, for North Melbourne. Marnie Lazaro and Robbie Tarrant. He goes out injured. He's been in good form. And Ed Curnow, well done. 200 games, but I think for me, I'm going an upset. North Melbourne.
Well, North Melbourne have certainly been a lot better. They've got some important players back. Robbie Tarrant's really going to hurt, though. He's been a key pillar down back. Ben Cunnington coming back in. And Jed Anderson gives them some grunt around the footy, but likewise with Carlton, with Patrick Cripps, and I think with Mackay up forward, it'll be hard to control. So Carlton for me. Jackson?
Carlton as well.
Mackay brothers going to play on each other in that game. Can't wait for that. Brisbane taking on the Suns at the Gabba. Berry and Archie come in. Coleman, Pryor, Berry. Thomas Berry, that is, that goes out. Oleg Markov comes in for the Suns. Holman and Brandon Ellis with his hamstring are the players that make way. McCluggage plays game 100. And Alex Sexton getting into some form, game 150. I'm going to go with Brisbane.
Two big losses for the Gold Coast Suns there, with Ellis and Holman going out, I think, is and with Berry coming back in, is one going the other way. So Brisbane for me. Jackson?
Brisbane as well.
Okay, all the same. West Coast taking on St Kilda. O'Neill, Kennedy, Hutchings and Waterman included for St Kilda. It's Claverino, Hunter and Caulfield. Rowan Marshall, of course, the big out there for the Saints. And Luke Shuey, Luke Edwards and Petrocelli all injured as well. At home, St Kilda. For
really?
Me.
Great service guarantee. Call 1300 Auto Masters. Playing Beat the Boys. Playing against young Jackson tonight. West Coast for me, Jackson.
West Coast as well.
Okay. The Melbourne Football Club taking on the Bulldogs. This one will be great. Harms comes in for the Bulldogs. It's Liberatore, Hannon and Shacky. Dunkley, of course, goes out. He's the big one there. And Hayden Crozier has been omitted for the second time. I'm going to go with the Western Bulldogs. I just think their midfield slightly better.
Yeah, Liberatore comes back in. Worthy replacement for Josh Dunkley, who unfortunately only plays that one game before he's forced out. Jackson, I'm going for the Western Bulldogs.
I've got Melbourne.
Oh, there it is. He says it with confidence too, Cole. I'm scared of him.
He's top of the table.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Adelaide taking on Hawthorn. Doudy and Frampton, the players that come in for the Hawks. It's Wingard, Scrimshaw and Hardwick. I'll be going for the Hawks in this one. They're building something nice.
I will be going for the Hawks as well to beat Adelaide. Jackson?
Hawks as well.
All right, Sydney taking on Fremantle, this one at Metricon. Reed, Taylor, McDonald and McLean, the players in for the Swans. For the Dockers, Tabernar, Meek, O'Driscoll will make his debut if selected. Hayden Young, Mitch Croden and Connor Blakely away from home last week. Fremantle, very ordinary. There'll be a response, but Sydney can't pick again against them at the moment.
Azani's just gone down clutching his leg. It's still Australia 1-0, so we'll see what happens with him. So what was the game, sorry, then?
Sydney and Fremantle.
Sydney for me, Jackson.
Sydney.
Oh, oh, hey, hey, hey. All right, we'll let you off.
I can't believe he was going to tip against his own team.
The Cats taking on Richmond. Rowan, Guthrie, Henderson, the players into the squad. Ralph Smith, Edwards, Collier Dawkins, Caddy and Coleman Jones for the Tigers. Of course, Dustin Martin still in hospital. Dustin Martin and Camden McIntosh also goes out. Radaglia, 50 games. Higgins playing 250, been a good career for him. But I think the Cats are playing too well.
Geelong for me. Jackson?
Geelong.
And we finish off with Essendon taking on the Giants. Dylan Scheel. Remember Dylan Scheel?
Yeah.
He's back in. Nick Bryan and David Zaharakis, the other players that come in for the Giants. It's Mumford, Ash, Peatling will debut if he gets in. Riccardi and Lockie Whitfield back from his concussion. Finlayson has been omitted again. Matt Flynn out with his shoulder. Josh Kelly, been a great player, plays game 150 for the Giants. And I'm going to go the Giants in this one. I think they're that sort of team that when you least expect, they show up.
Yeah, but this is a game I've agonised over for a while, and I sort of look at Essendon, and they're not that good. But the Giants, they just come up and surprise
Bombers are in
you.
The eight.
Yeah, I know, but I reckon they're going to get rolled. I'm going for the Giants, Jackson.
I've got Giants as well.
All right, one different. It's a good different game too. Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. Who won this game early in the year? I think it was Melbourne. That took them down quite easily.
Yeah. Hey, Jackson, good luck, mate. And if you are victorious, you will get that $100 voucher to go and spend at Auto Masters. That'll help Mum and Dad anyway get the car serviced or something
like that.
Do a deal
with them, Jackson.
Like
do
all
a
right?
deal.
My dad ran last time. He still hasn't got his voucher.
Oh,
hey, don't
really?
Say that. Hey, see you, Jackson. See you, say. Come on, Jackson.
We'll have to get him a voucher.
Switching. Gold Coast Carlton game.
All right. Well, we'll make sure we follow. Jimmy. Anyway,
Jimmy,
we'll follow that up.
He's nodding his head.
Switch and save on your next Auto Masters service with over 40 branches at 1300 Auto Masters. Let's see whether Jackson can follow in father's footsteps and get the job done. They might have a couple of vouchers to go and enjoy there. Still no extra score, so the Aussies still leading against Argentina. Hazen, how about the girls in the netball?
Doing it well, Carl. 60-42 in the last quarter. 9:42 done in the last quarter.
All right, we'll clear a commitment on the other side. We will come back, and speaking of netball, we're going to have a chat to a great, and her name is Liz Ellis. We'll talk about the Diamonds, about the future of netball, maybe into the 2032 Olympic Games. We'll see whether she wants to start a lobby for that, but she will also bring us some very important news around some grants that are available to netball clubs here in Western Australia. Liz Ellis to join us after the break.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, drive car of the year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have a legend of our Australian Diamonds, and we're talking netball, and Liz Ellis joins us here on Sports Day. Liz, how are you going?
Oh, boys, I'm busy. It's been one of those weeks, hasn't it, with all the super netball relocating from one side of the country to the other, so hopefully we'll get the season finished. We're all in Queensland at the moment, and we'd like to think that over the next few weeks we'll get the season done and dusted and get everybody home.
They've done a pretty good job, haven't they, to get everybody there in quick time. We know our fever, and everybody was heading to South Australia, and then everything hit the fan there, and then they moved out. And even some of the Giants players have done it pretty tough that they were isolated for a period of time. But you must be proud of your organisation.
Yeah, incredibly proud. I mean, I had nothing to do with it. I just sat at home and watched it all happen. But I mean, super proud of the way the sport's handled itself, actually, and the players as well. You know, some of these players have been in three states in 3 weeks. A number of them have been in lockdown. The Giants have done something like 4 weeks quarantine or isolation out of the last 6 weeks because they had to quarantine in Perth before that game. Then they got sent to Queensland for a couple of weeks where they had to quarantine, and then they got caught up with some of their players where they were concerned either in a Tier 1 contact area in Melbourne. So it's been incredibly hectic, incredibly up and down, and yet the players are still getting out on court and providing a terrific spectacle, which is just unbelievable that they're able to do that after really the emotional sort of up and down and the tumult they've been sort of experiencing. So it's really impressive. And along with that, there's coaches and physios and umpires who've uprooted themselves, some of whom aren't earning really enough money to be doing all this. But yeah, it's amazing.
It's been, I think, a attitude, it seems anyway, Liz, over there in Queensland that has been one with open arms, and they've been quite happy to accommodate every sport. I just look at who's gravitated up to that part of Australia right now. You look at the AFL clubs. We've just spoken to Dean Cox from the Sydney Swans, and their partners have just arrived. They're serving 14 days quarantine because they've been away from home for almost a month. But, you know, over here in Western Australia, we're pretty rigid. We've got different rules. But Queensland seems to be the go-to place right now for a lot of codes.
Yeah, and look, remember we all did the hubs here last year. So the netball, the entire Suncorp Super Netball season was here last year. The AFL was here. The rugby league was mainly here. So Queensland has the runs on the board, and I think eventually it just became really easy to go to somewhere where you knew what was happening. So the players are familiar with the place. They know where their favourite coffee places are. And they know how it all works. So there's a level of familiarity there that I think is appealing. But I also think Queensland just do it well. You know, they get things done. Their government has put some money towards getting netball up here. And we're just incredibly grateful that they've been really supportive of us.
Now, Liz, our Fever have done a really good job in catching up or reducing the 12-point penalty that they copped at the start of the season. But we've got the Giants, the Swifts, the Lightning, the Fever, of course, and the Firebirds. It looks like they're the teams that are going to fight it out. Who do you like from this point in time?
Oh, well, there's a couple of teams that I like. I really like the Swifts, and they were very flat last week in their local derby against the Giants, but I think they'll bounce back from that. I think they're the team that when they play at their best, they're very difficult to beat. And I like Fever. You know, I think that that's the salary cap penalty that they incurred at the start of the year really put a fire in their belly. And for the first seven rounds, you know, they went through the first half of the season undefeated. Had a little bit of a stumble. They've only won one of their last three matches, but really looking forward to seeing how they bounce back from that. And, you know, they've had a tumultuous sort of 12 months as well with the salary cap stuff happening. And, you know, it's disappointing that that happened. And, you know, I think the club deserved the penalty that they got. But I have been impressed by the players. They're the ones who have to bear the brunt of the penalty and then getting out and getting the job done.
Now, why we wanted to have a yak to you was the great news that has been announced with the growth and the development of your game. Woolworths have extended their support for grassroots netball clubs and associations right across the country for the third year. What does it mean?
It means so much to grassroots, especially at the moment when things are tight and things are tough, to have these Pick Fresh, Play Fresh grants rolled out. And basically what they are, there's 85 grants available of up to $10,000 each per club or per association. And the theme this year is nutrition. So if clubs are looking for a way to be able to get their players eating more healthy, more nutritious food, then Woolworths want to help pay for that. So it can be anything from providing actual fresh produce for players to snack on when they turn up on a Saturday. Perhaps it might mean upgrading the canteen so you can sell or provide more fresh options to your kids when they come to play. It could be paying for a nutritionist to come and talk to your team so they understand the importance of picking the right food to fuel their performance. So I'm really excited to be involved, and I'm excited to be launching it, because this is particularly at the moment a time when community sports are often doing it tough. They're run by volunteers who have great ideas but often don't have the money to put those ideas into action, and here's a number of grants that Woolworths are giving out to make that happen.
Yeah, now the program has already supported over 200 netball clubs with close to $1 million in grants, and entries are open, aren't they, until Sunday the 15th of August. So anyone who's tuned in on 6BR tonight who is part of a netball club, an association, then they've got their chance here to take part and get a slice.
Yeah, and it's exciting. And I'm excited for the kids and the players who are going to benefit from this. You know, the saying it takes a village to raise a child is so true, especially of sports. You know, I'm a mum, I've got two kids, I bang on to them all the time about eating their veggies, and I'm sure they just roll their eyes and their eyes glaze over and all they hear is blah, blah, blah. But if, you know, if the coach or if there's someone at the association to do with their sport is talking about it, it makes all the difference. I cannot get my daughter to eat oranges or citrus at home. She goes to netball and eats all the citrus she can get her hands on at half time. So sport is an amazing lever for that, and it's just terrific that it's being supported. So, yeah, get your thinking caps on and get your entries in.
Well, my daughter's gluten-free. She's a fruit bat because she eats a lot of those berries and strawberries and nice and fresh from Woolworths. She loves Brussels sprouts, I can tell you, Liz. Now, most kids won't eat
awesome
Brussels sprouts, but she's 15 and she's coaching. And Matthew's Netball Centre here is a hive of netball. It's just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? There isn't enough netball courts to actually service all of the girls that want to play, and particularly at my daughter's school, and this is just one example, I have seen them all come down to training and trialling, and then the ones that don't make the grade are discarded and they can't play because there's not enough courts. It's a growing sport, and it's hard to accommodate everybody at the moment.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And yet netball's a really efficient sport for accommodating people who want to play. So on the, you know, the equivalent size of a footy over, which might be able to get through six games a day of 36 people, netball can get thousands and thousands of people through. So, you know, maybe that's the next bandwagon I'll jump on, is to try and make sure we have enough facilities. But I've got to say that netball does a really good job of catering to a vast amount of people week in, week out. And, you know, it pumps people through on a Saturday. And if we can just use that huge amount of knowledge and talent that we've got for logistics in terms of getting people through and apply that to getting people fed, then that's another great thing.
Now, where do we have to go to enter to get a chance to get some of this money that's being put up by Woolworths?
All right, there's a website that you need to go to. So grab a pen, and
yep,
it's pickfreshplayfresh.netball.com.au/grants. So I'll say that again, pickfreshplayfresh.netball.com.au/grants. And if that's all too much to remember, just search the Woolworths Netball Grants on Google and it will come up.
All right. I've got another bandwagon that I need you to get on. 2032 Olympic Games in Brisbane.
Oh, I'm driving the bus.
No netball in the Olympic Games in this particular stage.
Driving, Liz.
Netball's big at the Commonwealth Games. Is there a chance, with your help, that we can get netball in 2032?
Well, I think while there's life, there's hope. So I'm absolutely on the bandwagon. If you guys would drive the bus, I'll get on the loudspeaker and get everyone going. So, no, look, as soon as I found out on Wednesday night that the decision had been made, it was going to be Brisbane in 2032, I thought, this is our chance. So I've already started to make some phone calls today, and I pledge to you that I will become an absolute pest to all the power brokers in the Olympic movement to try and get netball into the Olympic Games in 11 years' time.
So clearly we need more countries that play the sport. Is it growing internationally? Because certainly the other countries are catching up to Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, actually, we satisfy all the criteria. So netball has been recognised by the IOC as satisfying all the criteria in terms of the number of countries competing, all that sort of stuff. The only criteria we struggle with is that we need to make sure that we've got a balance in gender for the competition. So the real challenge for netball is to get more boys and men playing and then to develop that through to a number of competitive national teams to play in something like the Olympic Games. So there is an Australian men's netball team and a New Zealand men's netball team, and they have played against each other. But a little bit of work needs to be done just to get that through in a number of different countries. And hopefully, you know, I've got 11 years. That's plenty of time to get this going with the right leadership.
There's my chance, Carl. I was thinking today, how can I become an Olympian at 2032? Well, there it is. I could play netball at the Olympics.
Well, Liz and I, hopefully at about that time, we might just about be retired and we might be able to go along and having a nice little sort of spectate at the Olympic Games over there in Queensland in 11 years' time. What do you reckon? Does that sound like a good idea,
Liz?
Yeah,
that's a bit more my style. I'll be the one in the stands cheering. There's no way I'll pull on a skirt again.
Great to chat. Thank you very much for your time. And we look forward to helping you get netball in the Olympic Games for 2032. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys. Always good to chat.
Good on you. Liz Ellis, Aussie Diamonds legend and certainly part of a magnificent opportunity. And don't forget, Hayes, what was that website address again?
PickFresh.
PlayFresh.
PlayFresh. .netball, and then they ran out of time. But go to Woolworths,
Woolworths
and put in
netball,
the netball
grants.
Competition.
Yeah, Woolworths Netball Grants on Google, and you will find it. We need to clear a commitment. On the other side, we will continue with the Olympic Games theme because for Apia, the go-to insurance for retirees, Rob Scott will join us, a former Olympian, here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, drive car of the year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have your company. And as we've been doing over the last few weeks in the lead up to the Olympic Games, the opening ceremony is tomorrow night, and we're looking forward to that. Already the Olympic Games are underway, and of course our Matildas having a good win this time last night. But for Apia, the go-to insurance for retirees, they bring us this segment, and it's great to have Rob Scott joining us here on the program. Rob, thanks for your time. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Carl.
Now, a rower. Where did it all start for you, mate? Take us back to the first time you picked up an oar.
Well, look, the first time was when I was rowing down at Canning Bridge. I went to Rossmoyne Senior High School and we had an opportunity to do a sports option. And I went down with the rest of my class and got in a single scull down at Canning Bridge in on the Swan, and that was really my first exposure. And to be honest, it was winter time, and I was falling in so often I wore a wetsuit. So, yeah, that's how things started.
Now, you were a sweep-oared heavyweight rower, I believe. Can you just describe to our audience who aren't overly familiar with the sport of rowing exactly what that means?
Sure. So in rowing at the Olympics, we have sweep rowing, which essentially you have each person has one oar, and that's what I did. Or there is sculling, where you have two oars. You also have the heavyweight category, which is the open category, and the lightweight category, which and there are only a small number of lightweight events. So I was in the open category in the sweep oar events.
And you were the Sweeport Heavyweight National Champion, an eight-time crewman in the West Australian Kings Cup and eights, and a four-time Australian representative at the Rowing World Championships. What was, say, the most significant victory for you guys? Was there a time that you weren't favourites and you won, or did you go into those events as favourite all the time?
Well, I'd say the two highlights for me, and they're quite different events. One of the proudest moments in my sporting career was winning the King's Cup, which is the interstate eights race. And Western Australia has a proud history in that. And it was fantastic to beat the Victorians and the New South Wales team. So that race was fantastic. But at the Olympics, I guess it was the silver medal in 96. We were up against some formidable competitors, narrowly beaten by the British crew, that have both been knighted, mind you. So although we're disappointed not to get the gold, at least we can say that the only ones to beat us have both been knighted.
We'll get to that. We'll go into more detail. Well, that is a good accolade. But what about your first Olympics? How was that experience, and how did that set you up for the second one?
Well, yeah, look, it is an amazing experience going to your first Olympic Games. It is such an awesome spectacle and event. And look, I was just really proud to be selected in the Olympic team. And it is, being in a young crew, we were setting out in the eight to try and make the final and do as well as we could. So, look, a huge experience, gave us all a taste for the Olympic Games and that level of international competition. But it was an amazing experience, both the sporting experience, but also just being at such an amazing festival of sport.
Robert Walker and Richard Wern were the two blokes you had to get past, and you and David Waitman did that. You went to the Atlanta Olympics 96, runner-up. Talk us through the build-up to that one. You got the silver medal, and that race specifically, how close you come and your tactics in the race.
Yeah, well, that if I go back to the mid-90s in Australia, we had an incredibly strong rowing squad, actually much like we do now with the current team. So just simply to make the Olympic team was a really tough effort. To get selected in the pair for the Olympics in 96, we had to beat the reigning bronze medalists from the World Championships, and we also had to beat the two pairs out of the awesome foursome that were also trying to get qualified in the pair. So, by the time we got to the Olympics, we knew we had some good form, but we're up against this British crew that were very strong. They had won quite a number of gold medals between them going into that. So, look, we really set out to have a crack at winning. We went out as fast as we possibly could, but they got away from us at the start. We did the fastest race we had ever done, about 6 minutes 20, but we ended up being 0.9 of a second behind them at the finish line.
Are you content with that when you do your best ever PB?
Well, look, I think you have. Look, at the end of the day, we went out there to try and win, and we didn't win. So, we're a bit disappointed at the time. Also, incredibly exhausted, and took us about an hour to recover from the race. But I guess as the days went on and we reflected on it, we were pleased that we put in our best effort, did our best time personally. So, look, at the end of the day, you be pretty philosophical about it.
We just had the announcement of another home Olympics in Brisbane, 2032, but the Sydney Games, you didn't quite get towards that. Can you talk us through the back end of your career? I think it was James Tompkins and Drew Gin, two very popular and famous rowers from that era. How did it pan out, and would you have loved to have rowed at the Sydney Olympics?
Oh, look, it would have been a good one. I was getting to the end of my career, and it was a very competitive squad, and I think on reflection, I was trying to burn the candle at both ends a bit. I was working for an investment bank at the time, working long hours and also trying to compete. And I guess at the end of the day, I probably just didn't deliver the performances that were required. But very competitive squad. Still look back on the time and the experience really, really positively. And I was really fortunate to meet my wife, Liz, who did compete at the Sydney Olympics in water polo and won the gold medal. So I look back on the Sydney Olympics from a family point of view, and it was a fantastic event.
Yeah, special memories, mate, I'm sure. Now, what about your professional career? Because you just spoke about working in investment banking. When did your relationship start at Wesfarmers? I believe it might have been in the early 90s. Is that right, when you first started an association with Wesfarmers?
Yeah, that's right. So I came back from the 92 Olympics at Barcelona, and I was pretty keen to get a job. Rowing doesn't pay the bills, so had to get a job. And I was really fortunate that the CEO of Wesfarmers, Mike Cheney at the time, and also Ernst & Young, who are big supporters of Olympic sport, they gave me a job at Wesfarmers as a finance graduate. And part of the deal was that they would give me a bit of time off to train and go away for competitions, because in addition to getting on with my career, I wanted to have a crack at the 96 Olympics.
And since then, mate, things have evolved in your career, and you've kept your association, of course, with our biggest company here in Australia pretty much these days. I don't think there's too many more that employ more people in our country than Wesfarmers. And you've been, since 2017, the Managing Director and Chief Executive. It must be a very challenging role.
Oh, look, it is a big role, big responsibility, but a real honour to have this role. I'm the eighth CEO of Wesfarmers over about 107 years. But I do think it does have some parallels with my time in sport. What was great about the Olympics is working with training with a team of people that are trying to do something really special. And, you know, really I've just replaced that in my sporting life with that in my working life. And I work with some amazing people doing some great stuff, and we're an ambitious company. I guess it's replacing one team sport with another.
You replaced Richard Goiter, of course. He's got his finger in the pie in AFL circles. What about you? Do you have any involvement in your sport or any other sport for that matter?
Yes, I do. So I'm currently president of Rowing Australia, which is like a non-executive role with the board there. And we do a lot of work to try and get our Olympic team and national team set up. And we've got a fantastic team over at Tokyo at the moment. And we're really looking forward to racing kicking off tomorrow. And we also do a lot of work to make sure that we've got good pathway development programs in place, and we're generally promoting the sport of rowing across the country.
Yeah, and I know there's plenty of other great work that you do in the community here in Western Australia. Really appreciate your time tonight, mate. Take care, look after yourself, and thank you very much for joining us as our Olympic guest tonight here on Sports Day. Take care.
Thank you.
Rob Scott there, our very special guest, brought to you by Apia, the go-to insurance for retirees. You call Apia on 13 50 50. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get a Tab Touch odds update. With Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch, bet at your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858. And David Short joins us. Shorty, back from holidays. You have a good break?
Yes, I did, boys. Unfortunately, one of my sons had a good break as well, a break of the elbow. So that didn't go to plan, but the actual time away with the family was nice.
Good on you, mate. And I know that you've still been working while you've been on holiday, so thanks for your time that you've had with us here on Sports Day. Let's get into the betting markets, and we start, firstly, with the AFL games getting underway tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's an absolute smorgasbord of footy this weekend. Friday night footy, Port Adelaide 126, take on Collingwood 390. Into the Saturday action, Carlton $1.39, North Melbourne $3. Brisbane $1.21, take on Gold Coast 440. West Coast the 141 favourites for their clash with St Kilda at 295. Take note, that's now 2:35 Saturday afternoon being moved forward. Melbourne take on the Western Bulldogs. Some game in prospect this one. The Doggies $2 with Melbourne at 184. And also on Saturday night, Adelaide 235 take on Hawthorn 159. On Sunday, Freo taking on Sydney, the Red and Whites at 129 with the Dockers at 370. Geelong 137 up against Richmond 310. That should be another cracking game there. Can the Tigers butter up off their win last week? And Essendon 162 take on GWS at $2.30.
The Aussies got the job done in the first one-day international against the West Indies. How's the market looking for game two?
It's suggesting that they'll go back-to-back here. The Aussies at $1.55, West Indies at $2.40. Man of the match betting, fresh off a tremendous match the other night. You're getting some decent odds about Mitch Stark. He's an $11 chance Mitch Marsh there at $9 might be worth a look as well. He's been in excellent form over there in the Caribbean.
Now, having a look at the Olympics that are getting underway, mate, you've got heaps of Olympic markets on Tab Touch as well.
We have indeed. Really looking forward to it. Two of the better markets that the punters have sold into early doors, obviously the men's and women's basketball. USA, $1.25 favourites to win the gold in the men's basketball. The Aussies there on the second line at $6.50 with Spain at $12. While for the girls, they're given a really solid chance of being there in contention as well. USA at $1.06, but $13 on the second line of betting the Aussies. And hopefully they can come home with a medal of some description.
What about the racing? Where's the big races this weekend?
Stacks of great racing to look forward to. We'll just quickly start off with the trots here at Albion Park on Saturday night. They've got some excellent racing. Group 1's galore throughout the course of the program. In the feature, the Blacks of Fate Queensland Championship. King of Swing dominating betting at $1.20. Copy That and Expensive Ego both at 11. From the world of thoroughbreds, a big day of racing out there at Belmont, as has been the case of late, a bumper 9-race card once again. The listed Bolton Sprint is the feature of the day. Nero Dio, the 320 favourite. $5.50 for last of the line. Amasinus at 6. Montalina is there as a $6.50 chance. And excellent racing in Melbourne again as well. Bit of WA flavour as well, punters. You can get involved here. The Group 3 Bletchingly Stakes over the 1,200. Red Can Man, very, very impressive last time out and well thought of by the punters again here. He's the $4.40 favourite to get the job done in the Group 3 on Saturday at Caulfield. Go the Red Can Man.
Brilliant, Shorty. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care, and we will have a chat to you next week. Take care.
Look forward to it. All the best, fellas.
David Short, great to have a chat to him from Tab Touch. And with Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch, better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858. Now, let's get into our Chase for Charity, brought to you by Greyhounds WA. Great to have James Broadhurst joining us here on the program. Welcome, mate.
G'day, guys. Good to be with you.
Now, who's winning in the Chase for Charity? Is it me or is it you and Paul Hazelby, who just hasn't gone off you since the start of the year?
Is staying firm. I love the loyalty of it. Look, we gained a little bit of territory last week, Carl. We're breathing down your neck once again, but you are still in the lead there by about $80, mate. So, but we're coming, mate. We're coming.
Come on, lift. I need you to lift. I can't have Carl getting it over me once again. But what about the final of the Winter Sprint Mandra Friday night?
Yes. Look, I know I say this every time, guys, but we do have another really nice race down there on Friday night. From the heats last week, we saw a really nice run from Yarranup Flyer. This is a greyhound that is on the up, and look, he clocked a personal best time of 22.31 over this 4.05 journey, and that's a really slick time for those who don't know. He comes into the final here as the fastest qualifier. He's won 4 of his past 5 starts, a dog with a really bright future ahead of him. He is, however, though, drawn pretty tough in the lemon box here, box 5, and he does come up against a very handy field here, which includes Fernando Star, which was last year's Mandra Derby winner, and a dog that's been a really good performer over a long period of time now. We've got Classy Riot, another heat winner that has the advantage of the rails. Alley Harper's Hero. A few other dogs there that have claims. Looks like a good one. Yarranup Fly, I'd suggest maybe will be favourite. Not entirely sure with that box draw. I think he's the dog to beat, but I certainly can see other dogs getting up here.
JB, Saturday night, it's Rapido Lass and Stout Manelli going at it over 600 metres. Can't wait for this one.
Yeah, look, this is a good one, guys. I did want to highlight it because it looks like it will probably be one of the standout races of the card there on Saturday night. These two dogs, well, have gone head-to-head a bit of late, but the standout time they've clashed of late was last week. And we saw Rapido Lass, which is a stayer on the up, zoom past Stout Manelli, which is one of the best dogs going around at the moment. Stout Manelli, of course, won the Paradise Street Trophy over this 600-metre distance about a month or so ago and was outgunned and just beaten fair and square by Rapido Lass here. So those two go head-to-head again, which is a good clash in its own right. But we're also seeing Al Seabrook, a dog which has been in great form of late, stepping up to this distance for the first time. So this looks like a really good race and one to savour there on Saturday night.
All right, give us your two best bets because I'm going to put my money on you once again. And we're going to zoom past Carl Langdon at the completion of this weekend. So your two best, I'll have 25 win on each.
That's the idea. We're going to zoom past like Rapido Lass zooming past Stout Manelli. So Friday night, I'm heading towards race two, number two, a dog by the name of Barales. This is a really nice young dog and is from what appears to be a pretty handy litter as well here, guys. Look, the dog's won his past two starts in pretty nice times from this very draw, and I expect that he will be completing the hat trick down there at Mandra tomorrow night. So that's race two, number two, Barales. And in the Saturday meeting at Cannington, I'm heading towards race seven, number one, Rippin' Memphis. Now, you may remember that this dog was favourite for the Perth Cup, but had to be scratched on the day of the race. A really unlucky story for the dog and for trainer Shane Williams. Since she's come back, her form has been pretty patchy. I must admit she's burnt me a couple of times. We're expecting her to get back straight back into the form she showed leading up to the Perth Cup. Hasn't happened just yet, but we are hoping an inside draw can result in a change of fortunes for this dog. Look, she does come up against an okay field here, but it's certainly a winnable one. And look, I'm prepared to give her another chance here. So race seven, number one, Rippin' Memphis.
Good luck. I hope that we raise as much money in our chase for charity. I don't care if you beat me because that's what it's all about, racing against motor neurone disease. JB, thank you very much for your time, mate. We will have a chat to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
James Broadhurst there from Greyhounds WA. Our chase for charity, my tip this week, comes up tomorrow night out at Mandra. It is race 10, number one, Cooper's Manelli. Out of the hobby kennel, I think he's going to get the job done. 25 each way, just in case, but 25 each way, race 10, number one. And just repeating for Hayes, Mandra race two, number two, and Cannington race seven, number one, at $25 on the nose in our chase for charity, racing against motor neurone disease. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. I'll come back. I'll tell you what happened on this day for Barra and O'Day. We'll update golf and update sport in general as you head into the 8 o'clock news, which is not far away here on 882 6PR.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, just updating golf for Barra and O'Day. Don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. There is a big tournament in the PGA, and there's plenty of Aussies that are going to tee off tonight. Greg Chalmers, Aaron Baddeley, John Sendon, and the list goes on with Cameron Percy, along with Rain Gibson and also Lucas Herbert. So looking forward to, and Cameron Davis, let's not forget him. So they're all going to be teeing off tonight in that particular tournament. Now, at the Olympic Games, if you look at Barra and O'Day on this day, because little things are everything, yes, Hashim Amla back in 2012 made 311 not out against South Africa. But right now, the Australian soccer team, the Oli Roos, could be creating some history. At the moment, they lead 1-0. Now, they have qualified for the Olympic Games for the first time since 2008. Now, the Australian men's football team have never beaten a team from South America in the history, that's right, in the history of the Olympic Games. So this is going to be an incredible night to watch this unfold. There's still around 20 minutes to go in that clash, maybe even a little bit more, but it is certainly going to be a very, very interesting scenario. And the other situation to take into consideration here is that the Argentinians are down to 10 men. So Oli Roos are playing with an extra man at the moment. And the other sensational news tonight is that Aussie swim star is actually out of one of her pet events. Kayla McEwen has pulled out of the 200-metre individually medley because of her situation. Tonight, it will be Todd Johnson next. He will have the night shift here on 882 6PR.